natural thing. As human beings, we hear everything through the filter of our own experience. How does this impact me? How does this mesh with what my life experience has been? As we know, it's when my neighbor loses his job, it's a recession. When I lose my job, it's a depression, right? We read things through the filter of our own experience and how they impact us. We do that with our faith as well. We filter things based on our own personal experience. And so, for example, I find that when we pray for someone to be healed and they're not, if it's someone we don't know or they've had a terrible sickness or they're very elderly or something, we're okay. We understand that God doesn't heal everybody and so forth. But when it's a member of my family, or a young person, perhaps a child, or a tragic death, then it's a lot more difficult. Why didn't God heal this one? Why didn't God make this one well? Sadly, I've talked to several people, just as a pastor, who came to some point where some loved one died in some tragic way, and they just decided they couldn't believe in God anymore because of what had happened. We come to a reading like this one in today's gospel lesson, and we hear of all these people being healed and people being delivered of demons. And isn't that great? And we would like it to be that way all the time. But did you notice what happened? Jesus has this whole day healing people, casting out demons, preaching, everybody's happy, everybody's excited. Then nighttime comes, they all go to bed, and Jesus gets up early in the morning, and he goes out to a deserted place, someplace outside of the village. And the disciples come hunting for him. And they come to him, they finally find him, and they say, "Everybody's searching for you." Well, why are they searching? Because they want more healing, right? There's more sick people. They want to see more people delivered. They want to see more good stuff. And what does Jesus say? Let's go on to the next chapter that I may preach the message there, because that's what I came out to do. You see, we forget sometimes that even in the midst of all of Jesus' healings, there was a whole mess of people that didn't get healed. There was a whole mess of people that didn't get delivered. So what does that tell us about Jesus? That he didn't just kind of park somewhere and heal everybody. Or surely, actually, Jesus probably could have just healed every sick person in the whole nation of Israel. Just one sweep of his hand. But that's not what he did. How do we understand that? How do we understand the reality that there are sick people, dying people, people possessed of all sorts of things that are not delivered, that are not healed? Well, we can look at that, and objectively we might say, well, yes, I understand that God doesn't heal everybody, and so forth. And that's all well and good until it's, I love God. So it's the one that I really care about, the one that seems especially tragic to me. So Jesus didn't heal everybody that came to him, everybody that sought him out, because he went on to do something else. For that, he said, is what I came out to do, to proclaim the message that the kingdom of God is at hand, to draw others into that eternal relationship with God, rather than simply to ease their temporary problems. You see, we have a tendency to see the things that we face as big and these insurmountable life problems. But Jesus in easing our temporary circumstances, but in ensuring that we are eternally bound to God. That's what he came out to do. That's what he's on about when he goes on to the next town, and the next town, and the next town. To ensure that more and more people can know that eternal connection with God. It's not about an easy life. It's about a new life. A different life. And it may still be hard. And in fact, the life of following Jesus may bring new challenges and new struggles and new difficulties. But his purpose is that we are drawn closer to him and closer to God. It's actually worth noticing that the very next story that Mark tells, which we don't hear, because actually next Sunday will be the last Sunday of Epiphany, and we're going to read about the Transfiguration, so we skip it over. But the very next thing that Mark tells us about is the healing of a leper. And the leper comes to Jesus. Jesus cleanses him, makes him well, and he says to the leper, "Go and show yourself to the priest, and then go to the temple and offer the appropriate sacrifice." And then he says, "Don't tell anybody," which I always find amusing that Jesus tells people, "Don't tell anybody." I think he knew exactly what would happen. He's not that naive about how people are. But the thing I want us to notice is the first priority is to go to the priest and then offer the appropriate sacrifice. Because you see, the real purpose of the healing isn't to show off the healing. The purpose is that this man would be connected to God. That's what Jesus is talking about. And that even in the testimony, that others would come to be connected to God, to know this new life. Not just a new life without the lesions that come with leprosy, but a new life from the inside, a life that is connected eternally to God, our Creator. Most of us, if we're honest, come to church, come to faith, because we think it'll make our lives better. Right? We think it improves our quality of life. I need that connection to God because it helps me get through this and this and this. I need a community of other believers because it helps me when I'm in crisis or when I'm facing challenges and so forth. But what if we understood that our purpose as the body of Christ, as the continuing work of Christ, is to carry a message so that others can be drawn into that eternal relationship? Because you know that in the end, that's the only real healing, right? If you get your problem, your sickness healed today, guess what? You're going to get sick again. In fact, you're going to die. It will come to all of us. That's just a temporary relief at best. The real healing comes as we are reconnected with God, our Creator and our Designer. So in the end, that's what Jesus is talking about. In the end, that's what Jesus seeks to accomplish. The priority is not that this life is easy or comfortable or long or short, whatever it may be. Jesus' ultimate purpose is that you and I are with him for eternity. And for me, that's what makes it possible to go through all the other stuff. What makes it possible to continue to face the challenges of this life isn't just easing a couple of those challenges, but the confidence that in the long run I am secure with God. That's what carries us through. And that's what Jesus wants to bring to us. And so, yes, we pray for those things. We pray for those healings. I still do that. I pray for the people that I love to be healed and made well. When I'm facing some difficulty, I pray that God's going to fix it just the way I want it fixed. Right? But I also understand that that may not be the will of God. Someone came up to me after the early service and after listening to this sermon, and she was concerned about her prayers because she said that she often prays for the same thing over and over again. Somebody once told her that to pray repeatedly for the same thing is to show a lack of faith. But you're not really having faith in God. That was wrong. She was told an untruth. This is not getting our divine checklist taken care of. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is about connecting us in relationship to God. And the example that I used with her was, if you're sitting down having coffee with a close friend, do you sometimes talk about the same thing over and over again because it's important to you? Yes, of course you do. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We bring to God what is on our heart. We don't have to bring to God these perfectly formed, perfectly righteous prayers that only ask for the thing we're 100% confident that God is going to give to us. No, we come to God with what is weighing on our hearts. And then we let Him take care of those things as may be best for us. And then in that trust, we can find that transformation from the inside. That enables us to trust more. And that enables us, in fact, to walk through all those temporary crises, those temporary bits of suffering that come to us in the course of this life. Because we know with certainty that a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who weeps when we weep, a God who rejoices when we rejoice, is with us for eternity. And as we live in that confidence, we can share that with others. Not in big, dramatic, preachy ways, but just as a natural expression of our lives and our confidence in God, that they too may then be drawn into that eternal healing and wholeness in the midst of whatever